for clarification purposes, if someone were in a situation where it was impossible for them to attend the worship services on the first day of the week, Mr. Forsyth, I don't believe it would be a sin for them to miss if it was impossible for them to attend. What I was talking about when you asked me, was it a sin would people be lost, not even the Lord's Supper the first day of the week? I was talking about churches, like, for example, one is Pentecostal churches, who refuse to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, even though they have ample opportunity. They don't eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. I thought that's what you were asking about. That's the way I was answering. I'm not talking about some at a rest home where it's impossible for them to get there. Nobody could carry them over there because they're just bedridden. And I'm talking about folks that go to worship every Sunday, or can go, and they don't eat the Lord's Supper the first day of the week in spite of what Acts 20 verse 7. That's what I'm talking about. Brent put up 22. He mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 briefly. Jesus says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. He acted like that disproved my proposition. Now, I don't have time to go through this whole chart. I wish I did, but I will go through this part. I asked him this question last time. Does the phrase, for as often as you eat this bread, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, tell how often we should eat the bread? He answered, I say, no, it don't tell how often. So why did you bring that up? It doesn't contradict my position. You've already admitted 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 does not tell how often. If I had time, I'd prove that it didn't, but I've got your agreement on it anyway. Brent, 21. And then he mentioned Acts 20, verse 6 is where he's talking about. This was in not his last speech, but the speech before. I didn't have time to get to it. In Acts 20, verse 6, it says, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And then they ate the Lord's Supper. Now he acts like that proves they didn't eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, because they had 5 days in traveling. Then they had 7 days, and there's a total of 12 days there. It doesn't say they ate the Lord's Supper. Of course, he's arguing from the silence of the Scripture. There are a number of possibilities of what might have happened during these 12 days. It doesn't really tell us for sure what happened. There's a number of possibilities. There's one simple one, though. One simple possibility is that they arrived in Troas in time for the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. They traveled for 5 days, whatever that means. They left on Tuesday or whatever. They arrived in time to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Then they abode there 7 days. You know where that put them? Put them back the first day of the week again, wouldn't it? For example, I'm not saying this is the way it was, the Bible doesn't tell, but this is one possibility. Raise it up, Brent. We have Sunday here. They get there on Sunday in time to eat the Lord's Supper. Now let's count 7 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Puts them right back here. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't see a problem, do you? My opponent's argument is simply an argument from the silence of the Scriptures. It assumes what is being affirmed, that they didn't eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. That would be like assuming that those who believed in Acts 14, verse 1, were not baptized simply because the verse doesn't mention it. It just talks about some folks believing. It said they were baptized. That'd be like assuming they weren't because it doesn't mention it. That's arguing from the silence of the Scriptures. It doesn't tell what they did in those 12 days. You're making an argument based on something it doesn't even say. That'd be like assuming that the eunuch's baptism was not in the name of the Lord simply because it isn't mentioned. It just says he's baptized. It doesn't say he's baptized in the name of the Lord. But both you and I believe it was in the name of the Lord. We have our differences about what that means, but we both believe it was in the name of the Lord, even though it is not mentioned there. See, we don't argue from the silence of the Scriptures, do we? Acts 20, verse 6 simply does not tell whether or not they took the Lord's Supper during the 12-day period. But Acts 20, verse 7 does tell that they did eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And that is all we have to go on, what God has revealed to us. That's all we've got to go on. And then let's turn over to Acts 15. Made an argument from Acts chapter 15, verses 28 and 29. You know, Mr. Forsyth, half the arguments you make, I don't believe you really believe. It just doesn't make any sense you make an argument like this. The holy kiss argument, it turns out, that doesn't make any sense. You don't believe that argument. You don't even do it. You suck. I don't believe you even believe this argument. Can you imagine? I don't believe any of y'all brethren, of his brethren, believe this argument. He says Acts 15, 28, 29 shows you don't have to eat the Lord's Supper. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which, if you do keep yourselves, you shall do well. Very well. He acted like, here we've given all the things that are necessary to do. Since the Lord's Supper is not mentioned there, we don't have to eat the Lord's Supper. Mr. Forsyth, I know you don't believe that. Why'd you make that argument? Because I know that you don't believe that. Because if you believe that, and that was the truth, you know what it also, in addition to that, what it rule out? It would mean you didn't have to take the Lord's Supper at all. You know, it doesn't mention the Lord's Supper there at all. Do you believe we have to eventually get around to eat the Lord's Supper just sometime? It's not mentioned there. Why do you believe that? We could just go on our whole lives for 50 years and never eat the Lord's Supper one time and be okay, according to you, because it's not mentioned in this passage. What about the contribution? Do you think folks have to give to the Lord? Shouldn't they have to obey 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 when it tells them to contribute? It's not mentioned here, but you believe they got to do it, don't you? What about attend church? I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper. Just to attend church. You believe that's necessary? You believe folks just quit church completely and live for 50 years and never even attend church and still go to heaven? Well, according to your reasoning, since it's not mentioned in here, it'd be okay, Mr. Forsyth. But really, you don't believe the argument. And you, brother, you understand he doesn't believe the argument, but he makes it anyway. What about cussing, Mr. Forsyth? Do you believe it's all right to cuss? You know, it's not condemned in this passage. Now, all these things I'm talking about, other passages show that they're required, but that we're not supposed to do. Cussing is condemned by Ephesians chapter, I believe it's 4:29, 5:29. This passage doesn't condemn it. Do you believe any cussing, Mr. Forsyth? Well, evidently, you don't believe the argument you made. What about cheating on your taxes? Do you believe it'd be okay to cheat on your taxes? This verse doesn't say it's wrong to cheat. Or to your reason, it'd be okay to cheat on your taxes, cheat in your business, and be dishonest every which way you could be dishonest. Because that's not mentioned in this verse. And then what about the holy kids? This verse doesn't mention the holy kids. And then you don't think you have to do the holy kids. That's so strange. Evidently, here's Mr. Forsyth's argument. This is what it is. He doesn't, Mr. Forsyth does not obey. By the way, Romans 16:16 is not an example, it's a command. Treat one another with holy kids. Since Mr. Forsyth doesn't obey that, then he doesn't have to obey Acts 20:7 either. That beats all. Because he doesn't obey Romans 16:16, that means he doesn't have to obey Acts 20:7 either. Is that the way Christians ought to reason? I've heard people say, I don't have to do this because somebody else doesn't do something else. And that's what you were doing even a while ago. But now you're saying, I don't have to do this because I don't do this. I don't obey one verse, therefore I can obey it all, disobey it all. That's ridiculous. I guess since you believe you don't have to obey the command in Romans 16:16, or the example in Acts 20:7, then you wouldn't have to obey water baptism either. Matter of fact, you wouldn't have to do anything. If you use that same reason, you wouldn't have to do anything. Because we don't have to obey the example in Acts 20:7, we don't have to obey the command in Romans 16:16. Since we don't have to obey those, that, whatever you bring up, we don't have to obey Acts 20:7. Don't have to do anything according to his reason. Then he brought up my chart number 16. Put that up there. My chart number 16, evidently, a lot of times, he just doesn't understand the argument. How do I know that? Because Brent raised it up. He said, right here, this doesn't have anything to do with the church service where Peter was here either. That was my whole point, Mr. Forsyth. You know how he answered this chart by saying that this doesn't have anything to do with the worship service. Mr. Forsyth, do you understand the arguments being made? That was my point. This doesn't have anything to do with the church service. And this Greek word translated eaten here is the same as the Greek word in Acts 20:11. And that was my point. That in all the places in the Bible where you see this same Greek word, and here are all the places, every time it's referring to a common meal, not the Lord's Supper, therefore Acts 20:11, it's reasonable to conclude, I would think, that Acts 20:11 is talking about a common meal, not the Lord's Supper. I have some other reasons why I conclude that, but that's one reason. But you evidently didn't even understand the argument, because you said something and agreed with my point, that this wasn't talking about the church service. That's my point. Acts 20:11 is not the church service. And one of the things that help you know that is the Greek words that are used. You know, the argument still stands. He tries to make it look like verse 11 is the Lord's Supper, and they didn't do it till the first day of the week. But I've already pointed out the differences in verse 7 and verse 11. The Lord's Supper in verse 7, and I didn't say they did it while he was preaching, Mr. Forsyth. I don't know when they did it, but I assume they did it before he preached, because it said that's the reason they came together, to eat the Lord's Supper. And then Paul preached to them. But it doesn't tell the exact timing, but it does say they did it on the first day of the week, and that's the very thing you don't believe. And that's the only thing that it says when they did it. It doesn't say before, during or after. You assume after. The only thing it tells us about the time is it was on the first day of the week, and that's the only thing you don't believe is what the text says. The one in verse 7 was done in the assembly. They came together to break bread, and 1 Corinthians 11 requires it to be done in the assembly. The common meal in verse 11, the assembly was over. The assembly broke up when Eutychus fell. Paul in verse 11 was eating and talking. Does that sound like the assembly? It doesn't to me. Another difference is that all the disciples came together to eat what was eaten in verse 7. But he ate in verse 11, that's all the disciples just eat. Do you see the difference, Mr. Forsyth? That was on your very chart. You can see that difference, can't you? This one they came together to eat on the first day. This one was done on the second day. Do you see that difference? That's a difference in what they did in verse 7 and verse 11. You can see that, can't you? They're not the same thing. But this, they ate a common meal on the second day. As a matter of fact, they probably ate a common meal probably three times every day. But on the Lord's Supper, they came together to eat it on the first day of the week. Why don't you admit it? Raise it up. Well, we've already talked about that. This is mainly just talking about the eating in the talking in verse 11. It indicates that's not talking about the Lord's Supper or worship service. But eating and talking sounds like what I do when I go home with some of my friends who are Christians and eat and talk with them after the worship service is over, after I've already eaten the Lord's Supper the first day of the week. Right, that's basically what this is saying. Mr. Forsyth, why try to get around what Acts 20 verse 7 is plainly teaching us to do? Brent, put up number 5. Now, let me give you this quote. He said, and I got this word for word, I wrote this down when you said, in his last speech he said, quote, "I've already said that we don't follow example, none of us." That's what he said. Yet last time, in our last discussion, I asked him, do you believe that we should follow approved apostolic examples? He said, yes, sir, I certainly do. I asked him, do you follow examples? He says, yes, sir. Now, today he says, I've already said that we don't follow examples. None of us. That's strange, Mr. Forsyth. Get up here and tell us which one. Do we follow examples or not? Brent, number 4. Yes, we do follow examples. I've got his own statement saying that we do. Of course, that's not the ultimate proof. That's just his own admission. He could be wrong about it. That's what he said, but he could be wrong about it. But the Bible says that we follow examples. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and God of peace shall be with you. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. What about that, Mr. Forsyth? Do these passages teach that we're supposed to follow example or not? The Bible teaches that we learn by proved example. And then, Brent, put up my next chart. I don't even remember which ones I wrote for you. I need this one. Acts 20 verse 7 requires us to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. How? We must follow approved examples. We've shown that by quoting Mr. Forsyth, who agreed with that. We've shown that by quoting the Bible. We've shown it by quoting other women's Pentecostals. Our example is the Lord's Supper being taken on the first day of the week. That's our example. Therefore, we must eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Next point. Every first day of the week. Crucial to this discussion. That's not the only difference between us, because he don't even believe you have to do it on the first day of the week. But every first day of the week is crucial. Now, I know I've repeated this in just about every speech, probably every one of them. But everybody look at it. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Mr. Forsyth, you still haven't told us how you know that they were to do it every seventh day of the week. How'd you know that? Is it because every week has a seventh day in it? Is that why? Why don't you tell us? Now, I got up here and answered every one of your questions that you wanted me to. I answered the one about... You said, get up here and tell us if somebody's going to be lost if they don't eat the Lord's Supper. I did that the first thing in my speech. But get up here and tell us, how did you know, Exodus 20, verse 8, they were to remember every Sabbath day? Well, by the same reasoning, we can see that Acts 20, verse 7 requires us to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, emphasizing the word every. It's by the very same reasoning, and that is because every week has a first day in it. Now, you can either get that, Mr. Forsyth, or you can respond to it. So far, you've chosen not to respond to it. Next chart, Brent. Right along, right after that. Let's elaborate on that further. This chart's entitled Regular Observance. The Passover. He brought that up. What can we learn? Just repeating myself again, Leviticus 23, verse 5 says they were to observe the Passover the 14th day of the first month. Every one of you ask yourself this question, how often? Does it say every year? No. But how often was it? Every one of you believed every year. How come? Because every year had a 14th day of the first month. House payment. If some of you have a house payment you're supposed to make on the first day of the month. How often? Once a month, because every month has a first day in it. The Sabbath. Everybody knows that the Israelites had to keep every Sabbath day holy because every week had a Sabbath in it. Acts 20, verse 7, they came together the first day of the week to break bread. No, it doesn't say the word every. How do we know every? The same way we knew, and all of y'all agree with it, every on these, because every week has a first day. I'll just explain it again. If let's say last week I ate the Lord's Supper, and I obeyed Acts 20, verse 7, but tomorrow we come together and we don't eat the Lord's Supper, then we're disobeying the example of Acts 20, verse 7 that week. Now, we obeyed it the week before, but we have to continue to obey it to continue to be right with God. Let's read Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached it to them, ready to depart on the mall and continue his speech on the night. We've established from the Scriptures we must follow example. What is the example? They came together, the disciples did, to eat break bread on the first day of the week. Why don't you do that? I want to know.
This is the last speech, and I won't say that I've enjoyed this discussion. I've enjoyed being here. I've enjoyed the hospitality of the preacher here, Mr. Moore, and this congregation. We're glad you opened your doors unto us. We always look forward to the discussions that we can have, never from the hospital. And after to this last remark, the reason I don't do that is because the Bible doesn't teach that. What do you think I'm doing here? That's the reason I don't do that. Because I firmly believe that the Bible don't teach that I've got to do it the first day of every week. Now, Mr. Donahue has done forfeited his proposition. His proposition fell flat when he got up here and made excuses for people that were in the rest home and sick and couldn't get to church. So his proposition is gone. He forfeited. It's gone down. Because he first told that, he said that, then he took it back. And the reason he took it back, he's had some help from his moderator here. And he took it back. Mr. Crusher, I know him better than that. He wouldn't sign this proposition every week. Mind him. Will you sign it? All right, me and you'll have it then. We sure will. Bigger the come, the harder the fall. He forwarded his proposition. 12 days, no Lord's Supper. We'll have it on tape from house to house or something. But Thomas Thresher will sign this. I'll sign to deny it. Certainly do it for anybody else in here. I may have not have time to go to every debate, but we can debate on tape and mail it to one another, and you can get the tape. So you just start in. Take that proposition. Mail me a tape. We'll get going. I know I'm using my time here, but I don't have to go any farther because his proposition is dead as a doornail. It's gone. And he said here a while ago, put that chart up, 12 days, no Lord's Supper. I can't see numbers on these charts. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be...
21.
I need to see some numbers. Then he took back that you have to do it every week. 12 days of no Lord's Supper, there are numbers of possibilities of what might have happened during these 12 days. Numbers of possibilities. Now, who's adding? Who's adding now? Numbers of possibilities. And here's that Donahue up here teaching an example. He said a number of possibilities might have happened. Well, I believe one of the numbers of possibilities that didn't happen was, I don't believe they took the Lord's Supper. If it was that important to take it the first day of every week, I believe it would be in here more times than Acts 20. That's what I'm saying. All right? Possibilities. He's preaching possibilities. One simply possibly is that they are simple possibility is they arrived in Troas at time for the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. That's one of the simple possibilities, but the Bible don't teach that. It hasn't taught that, never has, never will. And all my arguments that I've made are germane to the example that he put up here. Now, the reason I made my argument on the foot washing is an example. The reason that I made my argument on Matthew 28:19, I want that put up here. Let's put it up here, that example chart. The reason I made my argument on that was because it was example. It was example. All right? Here's what I want. In Matthew 28:19, when Jesus speaks to his apostles, he never even touched this scripture. He never even said one word about it. He never got up here and said nothing about it. He left that off. Now, Mr. Donahue, you could have got to that while you was fooling around up here, throwing off on me about bringing up the Holy Kiss. Now, the only reason I brought that up was example. Now, he says it's a command. I want to see you kiss Thomas Rush before you leave here today. It's a command. You better. All right. If our Lord and Master have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Example. Example. So he said in Matthew 28:19 about the nations, verse 20, teaching them to observe. Where did Jesus teach to observe the Lord's Supper the first day of every week? Where did the apostles teach him? They taught baptism. They taught repentance. They taught going to church. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. They taught all that, but they never taught to observe the Lord's Supper the first day of every week. Now, as I said a while ago, about my mother-in-law. She was a good lady, a fine woman. Stayed the rest home for years. Never got to take the Lord's Supper. But Pat Donahue, I don't care what he says now, he has sent her to hell up here today. And he's sending all your people to hell that's at rest home somewhere and came to assemble in church and take the Lord's Supper. Don't get up here and try to take it back. Cause him some advice from Thomas Thrasher. He may get you in more trouble than you already in, fool with him. All right? Now, he said in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So I didn't see no scripture, nowhere, none of his charts. None of his charts where he dissolved this right here. You see. Let's get that proposition chart. And on the examples, I said the examples to the dotting of the I and crossing of the T. That's what I said. None of you do it. How many of you sold your possessions? Pool all of them. Give it all in one place. That's an example. The first church did that. Is that a command? Is that a doctrine? That's what I'm talking about. He knows that. Now, he never put a scripture in here that said we got to take the Lord's Supper every week. He never put a scripture in here that said each member has got to take it every week. But his proposition says each member. His proposition said every week. Yet his proposition said the scriptures teach each and every. And the scriptures don't teach that. They never have taught that. And they never will teach that. Now, in the book of Acts, where he brought this up, in the book of Acts, these were Gentiles that had been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins and received the Holy Ghost. And my thought into bringing this out was bringing up on them no greater burden that is necessary. And he gets up here and quibbles around on this, and he brings out baptism. He brings out repentance. He brings out church attendance. He brings out all these things. He just does that to smother up and to cover up his argument here that he has no position. He has no position whatsoever to put a scripture in none of these blocks. He didn't put one in there. Raise it up a little. His position reminds me of the woes that Jesus denounced upon the Pharisees. You better repent. You lay men with heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Luke 11:46. That's him. He's put this burden upon you. He's put this burden upon your people. He's put this burden upon all the old people that can't get to church and come out. He says you've got to take it every Sunday or be lost. I don't care how much he's reneged. If he does, he's lost his proposition. It's failed. You ought to have thought of this, Pat Donahue, before you signed your name on that dotted line. You see, well, I ought not to tell you this, but you whoop people with their proposition. That's what you learn in debating. I'll not debate no proposition. I don't sign myself. It don't matter how many of my brothers sign one. I sign my own when I debate. So we don't see a scripture put in here nowhere. And you know, people talk about a lot of things and never do the things that they talk about. And I told him he can look in all the dictionaries, if you remember this now, all the dictionaries they are to look in. I've got one out there in the car, a good one I'll loan you. You'll never find holy kiss associated with a handshake. Never find that no way whatsoever. So you see, what I'm saying is you're a long way from being a New Testament church. A long way from being a New Testament church. And for the likes of things, this morning, Jesus Christ has given us all an opportunity to obey him. Jesus Christ has given us all an opportunity to study his word. We all believe the church was born at Pentecost. It came into existence under their Pentecost. But I'm going to tell him one thing. If he's going to follow example, he's got to get the Holy Ghost like Paul got it. He's going to have to talk in tongues like Paul talked in tongues. Because that is a pattern. That is an example. And he's used Paul consistently in this service today, but he refuses to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He refuses that. There's nowhere in the New Testament that baptism, according to his knowledge, is mentioned as far as Matthew 28:19 or saying nothing at all. Now, but the example is baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not a new argument. This is germane to the issue. He mentioned baptism, you see. He is the one brought it up. But you see, nowhere in the book of Acts does it say anything about the way that Donahue baptizes. But still, he'll say, oh, I'm following an example. I'm up here today following an example. Well, I want to tell you folks, he's a poor example when it comes to the Word of God. I'm not reflecting on his character and anything about Mr. Donahue. I like him. He's a fine young man. He just needs to come into the truth. Quit hanging out with these folks that don't preach it. Let some of this genuine doctrine rub off on him, and he'd be all right. So remember today, you can look in the dictionaries. You can look anywhere that you want to look. And I want to tell you something. After church, I don't want no questions asked me. You've heard what I've got to say. I'm tired. I got to drive nearly 300 miles. But I've enjoyed being here with all you folks. We've enjoyed this session. We've enjoyed being around Mr. Donahue and discussing with him. But he's got a lot to learn about the Word of God according to the Scriptures. Now, he still, I want to look a little more about this common meal. How much time I got? 3 minutes. I can do a lot in that time. I want to look some more about this common meal today. Now, he is in a dilemma because he said the first round, you couldn't eat it in church. Then he said today, they took the Lord's Supper and they ate a common meal. You can study the Scripture till your eyes fell out and you never find Acts 20:11 a common meal. You can study it till your eyes burn. You can stay awake day and night studying that Scripture and you'll never read a common meal into it. But you know why he did it? He wants it to fit his doctrine. That's why he did it. So then later on, he said you couldn't eat a meal in 1 Corinthians 11. But then later on, he repents and says they ate a common meal in Acts 11 after Paul got through preaching. So they had to eat the Lord's Supper, according to Pat Donahue. They had to eat the Lord's Supper while Paul was preaching because they come together and Paul preached to them, the Bible said. Paul preached to them. And when Paul preached to them, while he was preaching, the Scripture said the man fell from the loft. Then after that, the bread was broken in Acts 7. I never saw nobody in my life go to church and have Lord's Supper and then eat a common meal after that. And all he's did is got up here and rambled around and try to say things about an example that he don't do himself. He don't greet nobody with a holy kiss. He don't baptize like the apostles did. He don't even mention the name of Jesus in baptism, as far as I know. If he does, I'll change what I said. But you see, all these things are examples. Paul received the Holy Ghost. Pat Donahue don't believe in it. He fights it. He fights tongues. He fights the name of Jesus in baptism. You know why he does? Because it is the genuine truth of the Word of God. And God bless you today. And I want to say with this 1 minute, again, we've enjoyed being here. And we just trust that God's blessings will be upon those, and it will, that will seek him with all their heart and the truth of his Word. And we're going home right at this service today. We've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being here with these men and all of you people. Mr. Moore again, God bless him for allowing us to come here and present our convictions according to the Word of God. All right.
Again, we are appreciative for all of you who have come from a number of different places. And the way I view a discussion like this is that this now is not the end of the discussion. There are tape recordings. Various charts will be distributed by people who have not been here. So the discussion continues to do good, even after we have been dismissed. And of course, look forward possibly to other discussions on this and other subjects that we have in the future. Give you like to make
just like to say, along on the board side, I appreciate the hospitality, the kindness, the friendliness, the strong us.
Again, to the congregation here, the Lord has opened the door each time. Close to these times, so he's happy to be here from beginning to end. Appreciate you doing that. And let's trust that everyone will continue to study the Bible and do what we learn to be true. There is nothing further. We're going to ask for the Lord, if he would, to lead us in closing prayer.
Father, we're thankful for our ability to discuss what they believe about you. We pray that each one has this reverence and respect for them. And these verses that they've read, studying, describing you, and have us continue to grow the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.